There are too many Christians who warmly embrace and kindly regard and kiss the world.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
My father was a bartender. For many years, I was raised up in a circumstance where there were many ingredients that were displeasing to the Lord. Very early in my life, I learned the ugly things. But then the Lord, in His grace, helped me to see that He was the only one who could fill the sense of emptiness that was in my heart, that my life was going nowhere fast. And through the godly witness of a young man who was the salt of the earth in my world, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He was the son of the Baptist preacher in my town. And it brought into my life that decision to receive the Lord Jesus a whole new dimension of meaning and of purpose. He gave me a forgiveness and a cleansing in the mighty blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been a day in my life that has had so much meaning as the day I became a Christian. And I thank God for that young man who was the salt of the earth in my world. And he became the prohibitive to putrefaction and the antiseptic, the spiritual antiseptic that I needed in my life. And through his witness, his disciplined example, and his dedicated witness, he introduced me to Jesus. Every one of us as God's people should have a hunger and a thirst to fulfill our calling as salt. And to do that, we need to come to understand it. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? I want you to notice with me two basic insights regarding our calling as the salt of the earth. Now, the first thing that I want to look at very briefly here, or very concisely, I hope I can do it briefly, is a characterization. Ye are the salt of the earth. We are characterized as salt. What does that mean? Ye are the salt of the earth. And if I have time, I want to talk about a catastrophe that Jesus hints at in this verse. But if the salt have lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is thereafter good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And I wonder how many Christians have lost their true identity as the salt of the earth and are thereafter good for nothing and are trodden underfoot by the men of this world who no longer take their witness and their testimony seriously. First, a characterization. Ye are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? What does that teach us about the world? That simple statement, ye are the salt of the earth, teaches us something very significant about the world in which we live. It is a world that is filled with rottenness and pollution. It is a world that is offensive and foul. It's sad to say, but it's true. It is a world that needs an antiseptic, and our world is like that. It is the kind of world that needs salt. It needs an antiseptic, and you Christians are that antiseptic. And before you can be rubbed into the secular world around you and achieve the goals that God intended for you to achieve, you need to understand your world. But it teaches us something else. What does that teach us about the Christian? You are the salt of the earth. Do you know, in my mind, that teaches us two things about a Christian. You may want to jot them down. We learn two things about a Christian when we read that phrase, you are the salt of the earth. One, we learn about the Christian's primacy. He is a very primary being on this globe. He is a very important individual, a very valuable ingredient in the world. We learn something about the Christian's primacy when we study the value of salt in the ancient world. And then we learn something else. We learn something about the Christian's potency. Salt is a very potent ingredient and a very precious commodity. and it has a multifaceted function. And when you study that function, you gain a little insight into what it means to be the salt of the earth. In fact, may I just give you quickly as I can, five functions of salt, which give an insight into what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, salt is an additive. Salt is not only an additive, it is a curative, and that's what a Christian is to be. And then there's a third function of salt, which gives an insight into what it means to be a Christian disciple. Salt was an additive, lending flavor to life. It was a curative, initiating healing and prohibiting an infection. And then it was a preservative. And then here's another word. Salt is a thirstative. Now, I'm not sure that's a word. I may have coined it. I think Paul coined a few words in the New Testament, and I'm going to take the liberty. A thirstative. That means that salt never satisfies a man's thirst. It never quenches a man's thirst. It only creates a man's thirst. No Christian can quench a man's thirst, but he can, by his way of living, create a thirst for Christ. Men can see in us what they are seeking for themselves, and we cannot quench that thirst that they have, but we can point them to the one who can. And it is the Christian, the disciple of Christ, the man who takes seriously the mandate to live like Christ in his world every day of his life, that creates that thirst in the lost man and brings him to Jesus. Salt is a thirstative. And then it is a distinctive. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, it is different. It is distinct. The most obvious general characteristic of salt is that it is essentially different from the substance into which it is placed. In fact, it is that difference which gives it pungency, which gives it power. Do you know that the word for holiness in the Bible, hagios, means fundamentally and essentially different? Do you know what it means to be holy? Fundamentally, it means to be different. It means to be sacred in a secular culture. It means to be godly in a godless culture. It means to be moral in the midst of immorality. It means to be different. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was holy because it was different from all the other days of the week. In the Old Testament, the temple was holy because it was different from all the other buildings in Israel. In the Old Testament, the priests were holy because they had a different function from all other men. In the Old Testament, the utensils in the tabernacle were holy because they had a different purpose than all of the other utensils. If a man is not willing to be different, he may as well never start in the Christian way. We're called to be different. We're called to be separate. We're called to be unique. We're called to be sacred. The Christian is a man who is essentially different from the world around him. He is not the slave of the done thing. One of the things that disappoints me most as a pastor is that even Christians are so shallow in their relationship with the Lord that they become the slaves of the done thing. Whatever is being done, they are the slaves of it. Whatever the world is wearing, we must wear. Whatever the songs the world is singing, we must sing them. Whatever the philosophies of the world, we must embrace them. Whatever the appearance of the world, we must emulate them. We are slaves of the done thing. The most difficult thing in all the world is to stand alone, to be different. And that's what God wants his children to do. That's what it means to be the salt of the earth. It means to be distinctive. It means to be like Jesus. The power of the salt and the power of the Christian lies precisely in this difference. If the Christian is indistinguishable from the world around him, he is useless. And if he is useless, he invites disaster. He is, in the words of Jesus, and I would never say this, but Jesus could say it. He is, in the words of Jesus, he is a Christian who is good for nothing. Those are the very words of Jesus. He's good for nothing. He is cast out and trodden underfoot of men. He has no influence for godliness. Jesus hints at a catastrophe. I've given you a characterization of what it means to be the salt of the earth, but I want to give you an insight into the catastrophe that Jesus hinted at here. The catastrophe is if the salt have lost its savor, it is thereafter good for nothing. How does the salt lose its savor? I'll tell you, there are five steps. There are five steps. Now, there may be other answers to that question. How does the salt lose its savor, its saltiness, its salinity, its influence? But here's one progression. They're a progression. They come in order. Here's how the salt loses its saltiness. The first step is friendship of the world. James 4:4. I call it toleration. We become tolerant of the world. James said, friendship of the world is enmity with God. You know what that word friendship means? It means to kiss. Phileo. In the Gospel of Matthew, when Judas came to betray Jesus, Jesus said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a philemity, a phileo, a kiss? There are too many Christians who warmly embrace and kindly regard and kiss the world. That's step one, friendship of the world, toleration. Step two is to be spotted by the world, contamination. James 1:27. James says we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We don't do a very good job at it. James 1:27. Step three is love of the world, cooperation. 1 John 2:15, we're taught in the scriptures, love not the world, but too many Christians do. Step four is conformity to the world. Romans 12:2, identification. We begin to identify with the world. We become exactly like the world. Conformity to the world. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. And that word conformed means do not be forced into the mold of the world. How many Christians do you know that have been forced into the mold of the world? And step five is compensation. God keeps good records. Condemnation of the world. Do you know there's a sense, 1 Corinthians 11:32, there's a sense in which the Christian can share in the condemnation of the world. Not in the sense that he loses his salvation, but in the sense that Lot did in Sodom. He can lose not his salvation, but everything that he has lived for. Lot lost his salinity, his saltiness, his influence for God. He was good for nothing. Even his advice to his sons-in-law was trampled underfoot. And he lost everything he had lived for, his possessions, his family, his prestige. Righteous Lot, who vexed his soul by seeing and hearing, shared in the condemnation of Sodom. He did not lose his salvation, but he lost everything he lived for. I tell you, it is that progression which leads us to lose our influence for Christ. In our clamor to become like the world and to be accepted by the world, we have achieved our goal. And what good is it? It has smashed the very purpose of our existence and squandered the great potential of discipleship. My friends, like the plague, avoid that progression. And function is the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Do you know something? Christian salt has no business to remain snugly in elegant little ecclesiastical salt shakers. Our place is to be rubbed into the secular world as salt is rubbed into the meat to stop it from going bad, into the world in which you live. And when society does go bad, what do we have a tendency to do as Christians on occasion? We have a tendency to throw up our hands in pious horror and reproach the sinful world. And well, we ought to on occasion, but on occasion perhaps we ought to reproach ourselves. Perhaps the real question is not how bad is the world. Perhaps the real question is, where is the salt?
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.